Hey everyone, welcome to the Dad Talks Podcast, the podcast where we bring dads together to share stories in order to encourage and inspire other dads to be better every day. I'm your host, JT Zrodnik. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Dad Talks. On this episode of Dad Talks, I interview Mike Jones. Mike and I have been friends for years, despite the fact that I rarely return his phone calls. Mike and I met after Mike came to visit the church I used to work at here in Muscatine after we hit the tornado. I remember we talked about it a little bit. This guy showed up. I think he had donuts or something and was just like, hey, I'm new in town. I want to connect. How can I help out? And that's really just Mike's personality. Just a great guy who's networking and connecting with people. As you will hear in the interview, is always willing to ask for help and questions and is just great at that. And so Mike and I met while we were both youth pastors here in town and then just kept the friendship because said Mike is great at networking and staying connected. We'll call just to process through ministry. I feel honored. I have the opportunity just to help him, just kind of vent and let him vent just stuff that's going on in ministry because I can relate. You know, I've been there. And I can do the same of just going through life. And so I brought on Mike because I was always and still am impressed by the marriage that he has with his wife, Mariah. And just how those two do life is amazing. They're one of those couples that I look at and go, man, if I'm ever married again or whatever, like that's the kind of marriage I want. You hear Mike talk about how they keep the romance alive by playing with each other. Yes, pun intended there. How they raise their kids. We also get into Mike just talking about his dad and the wounds from there, which includes some body image stuff, which is interesting to hear from a guy's perspective, especially a guy who's fit and in shape, but what that did and how that motivated him, good and bad. And then just, again, talking about what it's like to be dads and men in today's world. So enjoy my interview with Mike Jones on this episode of Dad Talks. All right. Yeah, let's do it. So on the podcast, got Mike Jones. So Mike, introduce yourself. Obviously, we know your name, and I'm hoping whoever listens, they do the exact same that I always do. Mike Jones. Who? Mike Jones. Family, job, anything else interesting we need to know before we get started?
Yeah. So I'm the pastor at Epworth United Methodist Church and Rockdale United Methodist Churches in Dubuque and Epworth. In my third year up here, and I've been moved over from youth ministry now since then. And prior to that, I was a youth pastor in Muscatine first and then Shoeyville. Muscatine obviously had the best youth group in that town at the time. I absolutely loved being at those two different places. And then God kind of pushed me out of my comfort zone into lead pastoral role. And I've been doing that with my four kids. I got an 11-year-old, nine-year-old just turned nine yesterday, or on the 12th, a six-year-old and a four-year-old. Then my wife and I have been together and doing this ministry thing now for about 12 years. Started out as a carpenter, actually, but she trusted the huge pay cut that came with going from carpentry to youth ministry. So a big step of faith in her to do that. But we've been loving it and just learning the challenges that come along with it.
Cut. Your wife's your sugar mama, because doesn't she do some dental thing? Like she's...
Yeah, she is now. So this is the first time she's worked full time in 6 years, because when we were living in Muscatine, so we really and honestly only planned because, you know, we make plans in our lives and God kind of laughs at them. I don't think anybody's life has gone exactly how they planned it. We were done at two kids. We had decided we were not having it anymore because we couldn't afford it. And while at Muscatine, we had our third and she was still working. We found out she's pregnant with her third. we were situating all that stuff. And when we started to do the math, we figured out after paying daycare, she was going to make like $4 an hour.
Let's go.
So she's like, I think I'm going to stay at home, because we couldn't really me become the stay at home because my job's what gave us our house.
Yeah.
So she had loved being a stay at home. I don't think she ever thought she would want to. But then she got an offer to a job that's literally two blocks away from our house, just within the last couple of months. And it's double our income. And the funny thing is, and we were kind of joking about this stuff earlier, somebody in my church asked me what I was most excited about, having like basically doubled our income overnight. And I said, because the checks that we're going to be able to write to the charities and to the places we love the most. Cause like quick backstory on Lila. Lila, had seizures when she was really little. And she almost actually died, one of the times. And, or she was turning purple. I wasn't there. Mariah was there. I was at work. University of Iowa, Children's Hospital is what basically, I don't know if Lila would be with us today if it wasn't for them, because she was misdiagnosed at a hospital before that. And I won't throw that hospital under the bus. they missed something. And, if it wasn't for there. So like, that was my exciting thing, is we can give more to U of I Children's Hospital. Yes. But sorry, totally took that on.
No, that's great. I didn't realize that on Lila. Cause then I didn't realize our kids, your last three are the same age as mine. I knew they were close. Cause 9, 6, you said, right. 9, 6, and 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause mine are 9, 7, and 4.
We have 3-year-old preschool, first grade, and third grade.
Yeah. Cause see, Genevieve's third, Zaya's first, and then Jules is pre-K. Yeah.
Is she a 4-year-old preschool or a 3-year-old preschool?
4-year-old.
Okay. And Taylor just turned 4, or Wesley just turned 4. Sorry. That's what happens when you have too many kids. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Wesley just turned 4. He's in 3-year-old preschool. And he's very advanced because of his older siblings.
Oh, yeah. That's the same Juliet. Okay. Because name your kids again.
So Lila.
Yeah.
Lila was named. Do you want to know where they came from?
I know some of them. That's what I was trying to remember. Yeah. First.
So Lila came from Lila Garrity from Friday Night Lights.
Yep.
Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Yep.
Because go Hawks. Taylor is because Fred Taylor, he played for Florida Gators and Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the best running big backs in Florida history. My favorite player of all time. I have a bunch of stuff signed by him. And then Wesley is because John Wesley is the founder of the United Methodist Church, and a lot of his teachings I love. We've gotten really far away from a lot of his teachings, but I love a lot of his original teachings. And the funny thing is, we named him. And then Mariah and I were like, oh my gosh, everybody's going to think we named him after the church in Muscatine. And that wasn't what it was from.
Like, yes. Can we get a bonus or some commission now?
Yeah, should. And free advertisement everywhere we go.
Yeah, right. Just put it on. And then you and Mariah have been married how many years?
So we got married in 2010. October 2010. So it's been 12 years now. And we've been together for a total of 13, because we were dating for like 6 months. And I asked her to marry me because I realized how far out of my league she was.
We've only been together 12 years.
Yeah.
Man, it seems so much longer than that. It's probably because you're just so old.
I'm glad it's you saying that, not her. But yeah, we've been together. So I didn't meet Mariah until I was 24, I think.
Yeah.
It was funny because I had just sworn off relationships. I had just gotten out of a bad one, and she had just gotten out of a bad one. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to quit looking God until you send me the right one. It was literally 3 days later.
Yeah. Which so. I know you've shared that before, which your story is just interesting because, yeah, you in high school were, let's say both were tools, but how he like worked to where if she would have met you before, it would have never.
She was a freshman in high school when I was a senior. And I didn't find my faith until I was a senior, and I was still an arrogant jerk. Mm-hmm. Because that's not, God can change your heart overnight, but a lot of your mannerisms and a lot of the stuff, selfishness, the way you treat women, especially, it takes a while because you grow up and, you've learned a lot of those stuff. We don't just get that idea from ourselves.
Yeah.
A lot of it's taught to us from outer perspectives. And, I had a lot to learn. So yeah, if she would have met me then, she was the good girl. She was the homecoming queen in her class because mm-hmm. everybody liked her. It obviously didn't hurt that she was very, very attractive.
Yeah.
But 90% of the reason she got it is she was just one of those people that was nice to everyone. So we were polar opposite. Mm-hmm. I was me, a jerk and arrogant, and she was the sweetheart that was also good looking. So
yeah.
I'm glad that didn't happen. And we actually met because of guys in her class that played football that were hanging out by me at a concert. So I told you that story, right?
I don't think so.
So we were at the fair and we'd always have a drink or two because it was the fair and it was a concert, you know? And the way you get them at the fair is you get them in like grocery bags. And beer is like expensive. It's like $9 for a beer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was always broke, so I never buy it more than a couple.
You just wait for someone to set their bag down and take it.
That's what happened. Mariah thought it was her friend's and they said she could have one and she took one of mine.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we started talking. And we hit it off and she kind of, never went away. Thank God, no matter how much of an idiot I was at the beginning.
Okay, so go to the fair, set some beer down. That'll just bring the women. Okay.
I guess, man. When I've talked to other guys about it, because we have some mutual people that we know. Between living in Muscatine, there's some people that have talked to me about frustrations in relationships in the past or whatever. And all of them, I've said the same thing. I was like, quit looking.
Oh yeah.
Second I quit looking, it found me.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have dreamt of something better, not to be cheesy.
Yeah.
But I couldn't have.
Yeah. That's what, the guy that, which is hilarious, he's 25. And so 35 year old guy, hey, let's talk dating. But to that point where it's like, yeah, you're on these dating apps and not necessarily they're bad or anybody's on dating apps or, thirsty or whatever, but like the people you want are the ones that aren't on the apps because they're not necessarily looking for it, or just exactly like you said, we're like, I'm fine, I'm good. And then, yeah, it's like the random meets like you just had, we're like, oh, cool. Yeah, no. Okay. Let's connect instead of the whole, you complete me and all that other baloney.
Well, because the truth is, if you don't have your junk figured out, then by yourself, you're never going to be able to have it figured out with someone else.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Mariah and I found out. We had some issues at the beginning of our marriage because I hadn't dealt with some issues.
Yeah.
Because I avoided them. I didn't want to talk about them. Because I grew up in a family and in a household that was boys don't cry and boys mush your feelings down. Yeah. So all of my feelings always came out in trying to control something or anger.
Mm-hmm.
So that was for me.
Which is always interesting because, you're a jerk to me. So, I get it, but I know you're not. And I see your wife and how you lead Pat. You're like,
Let's be honest.
It's completely opposite.
Who calls who and who doesn't?
I set up this meeting. Because it's the only way I'll talk to you. Because I won't answer your phone calls.
I mean, who's visited who in the last how many years?
Hey, again, where do I live? Where do I live? Muscatine, which has Guad. You come for Guad. You don't come for me. We're not sponsored, but we should be.
Yeah, hey, Guad would be a great sponsorship.
Yeah, right, man. I'd be so fat and just, oh.
You think dating's hard now?
Yeah, right. Well, that's the guy who works for me because he used to work for North Construction. And like years back, like that's where lunch was every day at Guad. And he's like, I hate to admit it. Eventually got to where he's like, oh, I'm sick of Guad. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. But I mean, yeah, if you have it every day.
I put on a good 20 to 30 pounds while living in Muscatine because of Guad and the Yaki Shack.
Oh, yeah. But your church was right there. So, I mean, you could walk.
Yeah. But, yeah.
It's only like just.
Because how does walking work after you hit Guad Buffet?
Well, it's not walking. It's running to get back to the. Back to the church bathrooms is, oh gosh. But anyways, geez, focus. Yeah, that it is interesting, like you say, to where you guys get married, that you weren't open to your feelings or whatever, to where I'm like, no, and people can't see you because you're what, six, what are you, 6 foot?
Probably 5'11 if I'm lucky.
Okay, right, and like two, okay, let's see, I haven't seen Mike for a while, so what, easily 250 of just solid mass.
Yeah,
my clothes.
I'm probably 275, 280 right now.
Just a massive man with a beard. And then you're like, but seriously, like you're just a teddy bear. You seem intimidating, but yeah, yeah. You're like the feelings and emotion. I'm like, where does.
I'm definitely in a, I'm in a, in my weightlifting thing right now. I'm in a bulk period. Doing bulk for a month and a half, and then I'm doing the cut thing because everything I've read says if you bulk first, it's easier to cut because then your body knows how to burn more fat. Not that you're a health podcast. Sorry.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. So
I'm just eating whatever I see right now. And it's so bad. So right now I have cookies. You hate eating?
I hate eating. I am supposed to eat almost 200 grams of protein a day right now. You know how hard that is?
Yeah, so break that down in breasts.
No, I had to eat like three eggs every morning, and that's usually still not enough protein. It's technically starting off the day behind. Then I work out, and then I have to have a protein shake and a protein bar, plus chicken and or steak over 5 to 10 ounces. Mm-hmm. And then that's with a pile of broccoli for all the fiber. Because of how much protein you're eating, you need to up your fiber game. And then after that, we have to eat another 20 grams of protein between snack and dinner. And usually Mariah makes these like protein balls and different things. It's all this stuff. I never come close to what I'm supposed to eat because I get sick of eating. I want to eat the stuff I'm not supposed to. Like I want carbs. Give me carbs all day.
But oh,
I
yeah.
The protein, it's like there's so many things. Like Terry Hose is my best friend right now. I put Terry Ho Yum Yum on everything, man. And sriracha.
Yeah, oh, that's like chicken's the worst to try to bulk up with because if it's not, if it gets dry, you're just like, ugh.
Well, and then you have to, like, Ryan and I have started making everything on Sunday. Like, I'll just grill a crud of protein.
Yeah.
And we'll portion it out. And then by the end of the week, yeah, it's dry and there's not enough barbecue sauce or Terry Ho. By the time you put all the stuff on it, it's like, well, there went the good for you out the window.
So like, are you going to get into like, you know, whatever bodybuilding competitions? I'm going to see you in a little Speedo soon.
Gosh, no. People will pay to not see me in that.
Yeah. Thing.
I've had a goal. I haven't hit it since college. I want to hit 400 pounds bench. And I'm at like 385.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say I did it again. And then I'll probably go back to concentrating on like 2 years ago, my goal was to be able to bench 225, 25 times. And I surpassed that. And now that's easy. Part of me is like, maybe I should try and see if I can get to 315, 20 times. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's just because like, I still have a competitive itch. Like my daughter came home the other day. She just went to the Carrie Underwood concert. She came home singing I Am a Champion, so we had to play it. Because, you know, whenever one's stuck in your head.
Oh, my gosh.
You have to play it to get it out, right?
Yeah.
So we played it, and, like, that was like, man, that makes me want to go train MMA.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine how much pain I would be in from an MMA session now?
I'm just thinking, no, more how not intimidating is it going to be your walkout song is Carrie Underwood, I Am a Champion. Like, what is actually, it might be good because it'd be in their head like, what is going on? This guy,
you know what my first fight walkout song was? Who?
Oh, yeah. Duh, that makes sense. Mike Jones.
Then it was Disciple, but you wouldn't know that. Or Decipher Down. You wouldn't know who that is, Bri.
Oh, I know who that is. Come on. Dude,
Fight Like This. Have you heard that song?
Probably. I mean, I've listened to a bunch
of
stuff.
One of my favorites. I still lift weights to that.
I forgot about that band.
Yeah, I think they broke up. It was kind of like, what was the other one? There's a Blindside. They got really, really big in the Christian thing, and then they just disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
So, I feel like I took us way off topic. I'm sorry.
That's right. You're getting jacked. So, yeah, you've been married 12 years. You're somehow, yeah, I don't understand how she still likes you, but I have, so, yeah, we'll go on that. We can go back to your sad childhood. So with you and Mariah, cause it's been 12 years, but the thing, cause I always remember when we'd get lunches or whatever, like you're very intentional on dates and like time with her. Was that from her? Did you lead that? Like, how do you, I mean, you guys, your marriage just sounds amazing. And yeah, you have four kids. I don't know how you're not killing each other. And
we just take it out on the kids. No, kidding. Honestly, like, we had some good mentors. One of our friends, my best man in the wedding, my wedding was Doug Clogan, and we still talk often and we'll meet up. He's down in Marion, so we don't get to see each other as much as we like. But we're kind of like polar opposites. He's a bit of a nerd. Like he does social media for a video game. And then his wife was always the worship leader at my church. Like I went to church at her dad's church growing up. Well, growing up in high school. But I remember when we were getting ready to get married, one of the things she said to me was, "The end of games is the end of romance." So
say that again.
The end of games is the end of romance. Hmm. So the day you quit playing with each other. I mean that in a completely hilarious way. Like I'm not serious all that often, other than I think that people that take life way too serious don't get everything out of it they could. It's like chill out. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. We're gonna be okay. But Mariah and I have we've always had a joke sort of relationship from the beginning. I mean, from when we first got married, we used to do that stupid you'd get a pot of water and dump it over the shower on each other when that's cold. And then it would escalate to we knew how to pick the locks on each other on the bathroom, so we could get in. And it would escalate to, we're going to put it in the fridge first and wait for the other person to shower.
Jeez.
To, like, I'll wrestle her still. And I'll teach her jiu-jitsu, which is fun. And then she's like, I could never do this to a guy your size. I'm like, well, the odds of a guy my size being the person that comes after you is very low. Most guys that attack women are actually usually small.
Yeah.
That's because they have small man complex most of
the time. Yeah.
I said, if you can learn to do these moves on me, if anything ever were to happen to you, you'll be ready.
Yeah.
And she's really strong. I mean, Mariah's got more into lifting recently than I have, dude. It's been a while since you've seen her. She's jacked. Like she's sitting there like this. And I'm like, man, I feel like a smaller dude now. And she was already,
I can't wait for you to call me one night and she's got you choking out. Son, yeah.
Well, and she's already a black belt in karate. So
Wow.
That what she would tell you is only because she knows how to do the forms. But there's been times we've been messing around, she accidentally got me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, babe, you hit hard. Like, that hurt. You hit hard.
Yeah.
But no. So I've always taken that to heart. And part of it, yes, we're really blessed. I know you've read the five love languages. My favorite to give is her favorite and her most important. Mm. So it's awesome. Because she is very much a words person. She always jokes and says, I'm out, because we'll always ask each other, just mess around, why do you love me? Mm-hmm. And she always says, because you feed me and tell me I'm pretty. So I mean, it works well because we match up that way, but we also knew each other's going into it. And we've always been very intentional. Dating has become harder the more kids you get because babysitting's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nights we just stayed up and played cards together, or speed. We don't play speed as much as we used to because I lost a lot, and hopefully he never watches this podcast to hear me admit that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's easy when your wife is your best friend.
Yeah.
So I mean, holy cow, we've been put there when the crap happens. Like when Dad died, if I wouldn't have had her, I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah.
So, and not to mention she challenges my faith.
Mm-hmm.
She's newer Christian. She didn't become a Christian until we met. And she asked me tough questions I don't know the answer to. I love it. I do. So makes me study harder.
Is there, like, just listening to, like, with both of you, like a humbleness to it or a teachability, like, because there's things where I'm thinking, oh man, that could make someone mad or upset, but like, you have, it sounds like you have a good balance of a give and take.
Yeah. I mean, we're both a little bit different now. And I mean, the longer you're married, the more you learn how to do stuff. Like, so one of the things we don't do is we don't badmouth the other one. Even if we were to get in a heated argument, well, not necessarily to anybody, we don't badmouth to the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
We both have people in our lives that we can call and do that to, that know us, and know the other ones. Like Doug comes into play here and I hate Doug for this, but I love him at the same time. I call him when we fight. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she did this. She said this, blah, 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 blah. Cause everybody fights, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, cool. What did you do wrong? Bro, shut up.
It's not about me. It's about her.
It's not about that. It's about her. No. What did you do wrong? Yeah. I feel like everybody needs that Doug in their life. Because the problem is a lot of times is, somebody will go to their sibling or go to their mom or dad and complain about that kind of stuff. And then they just take gasoline and pour it on that fire. And then boom, the problem becomes bigger and it's game over.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have that person that, you know, loves your significant other as well, and cares about them, yeah, they're going to be there for you, but they're also going to give you some truth bombs that maybe you need.
Yeah.
Cause it's not saying I've always been wrong in every argument we've ever had, but usually there's no 100% right person in an argument in a marriage.
Yeah.
So there's just not. I wish there was.
Yeah. There's a clean cut that you did. Now this is on you.
Wrong. Yeah. I don't like being wrong, but I am often. So, but yeah, I don't know if there's necessarily anything teachable other than, just learning who that is, learning who in your life is wants to help protect your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
and who doesn't care to destroy it. Because the truth, there's always people out there that would rather live through somebody else's pain and hurt than to face their own.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I always says hurt people hurt people. And it's true. I mean, and when people are hurting, they'd rather see somebody else hurt than deal with their own.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I like, because I was going to ask you that, because you have, you know, she said Mariah is your best friend, which is like great. So then, which you've kind of already answered it, outside of that, you know, male friends and the importance of that. I mean, that's what it sounds like, you know, Doug is that for you, to where he helps. Because I think that's one of the things, you know, people can fall into is where, well, if she's my best friend, that's all I need. Well, no, it's not, because you need the outside sources to do exactly like you said, to where I'm going to strangle her. So I need to go to someone who says, what do you, you know,
have to be healthy.
Yeah.
They have to be healthy ones. And honestly, I use Doug an example of marriage for sure. But I feel like Mariah's always said my strongest asset in my life is networking.
Oh yeah. 100%.
And she said, that is what you're great at. That is what, whatever. I've always said the thing I feel like that is also one of my greatest assets, but also one of my biggest weaknesses, is I know what I stink at. And the reason I say it's one of my weaknesses is because of our father situations.
Yeah,
I have a lot of lack of confidence in myself in a lot of areas. And those areas are probably the ones I act a little more cocky in.
Yeah.
To cover up for. The benefit to it is I have friends or acquaintances almost in every realm of things that I could deal with. I mean, you know, every time I needed in Muscatine, every time I needed a thing on youth mission, dude, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. You come talk this out with me.
Yeah.
And so we would do that. I never was afraid to take somebody else's opinion, because I in a lot of the ministry and a lot of life, everybody's just trying to throw stuff at a wall and see what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to answer your call, because it always pisses me off, because I'm like, God, Mike's so good of like, hey, I need some help. To where, like, it's just, it's so easy to where I'm like, why don't you just call people? It's not that hard to be like, oh, I'm freaking stuck. Like, oh, I'm going to figure out, like, no, just call someone. And then, yeah, you know, everybody, oh, yeah, call this guy. I'm like, no, I haven't called this guy back in months. It's like,
and then, but the bad part that I do that is like, that's my way of thinking. So I automatically drop to that place of, and this is stupid and I know that, so that's why I'm saying it. I jump to that place of everybody does that when they're stuck or when they need something.
Yeah.
And then like when I hit my dark spots or my low points, I'm like, man, my phone usually only goes one way.
Yeah. Yep.
I feel like my friends don't call me for advice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, am I just not good at anything? And that's my dark places.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I realize that's my unhealthy spot. But the truth is, I just call so many darn people if they have questions for me. It's when I call them. I mean, I don't drive anywhere. Like, I don't hardly listen to the radio anymore. I that's what I do on my calls. I call and check on my friends.
That's what I was just going to ask. How do you make it happen? Because I'm, yeah, so bad at doing it.
Dude, that's what my call. That's what driving time's for.
Yeah,
it makes the drive go faster. And it also, it's like, you know what, God, it's when I pray and I'm like, first person that comes to my mind, I'm like, okay, God, am I supposed to check on them? I'll call them.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't hesitate. Because like I told you before, I was coming. I was about to attempt suicide. One of the times I got a phone call in high school. And I always think to myself, what happens if that person didn't call me when they felt pushed?
Yeah.
What if they wouldn't have? It's like, hey, maybe it's serious.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 99 times out of 100, probably not the case. But I just called, I'm sure Ben won't mind. I called Ben the other day.
Yeah.
Checked on Ben. I was like, man, Mike, I've been meaning to call you. Can we meet for lunch? And we went and sat down and talked. Mm-hmm. And he has some stuff that he wanted to talk about. And it's like, cool. Thanks, God, for putting him on my heart.
Yep.
It just gives people that doorway, because I feel like that's the hardest part for people is to reach out. That's why I call you so flipping often. How you're doing. And I care about you. And you helped me through some my first 2 years of ministry. Yeah. Shoot, if I wouldn't have known what I was doing, didn't have any help, maybe I wouldn't still be in ministry.
Yeah, I mean, I still remember, like, here's this random dude that shows up, because that would have been, like, right in the tornado time, and just wandering around. I think he even brought us some stuff. And you're like, hi, I'm Mike Joe. I'm like, who the f- is this guy that's walking up on our turf? And he's like, no, I don't have any ulterior. I just want, like you said, I'm an idiot, and I just need some help. And it's like, oh, okay. And then, yeah, then we met. And it was interesting where we'd meet some of the other guys that are like, yeah, no, this is my turf. Like, but we all have the same goal, so why don't we just...
I just don't get it. Like,
work together.
But I understood. That's why, like, I learned very quickly. That's why your defenses were probably a little bit up when I first got there, is because most pastors and youth pastors have an ulterior motive for...
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, bro, I don't need to grow my program by stealing from yours.
Yeah.
Because Muscatine has how many kids in their high school? 2,000.
Yeah, some stupid number.
And so big. I'm pretty sure your high school ministry did not have 2,000 kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did not need to steal from you.
No.
There's plenty of kids that didn't know Jesus.
Yeah. And that's why I like too, to where, yeah, we, you know, one kid you speak of where he'd be at my church and then there because he had parents split where like, hey, your kid was here. Hey, this is what he said. Do you know that? Yeah. Okay. Yep. You know, we'd like share info to where it's like, that's how it.
Well, and your high school ministry was on Sundays and ours was on Wednesdays. So I would tell the kid, like, I had one kid come to me, Mike, I'm thinking about going to Nexus on Sunday. Is that okay? Yeah, please. I was like, I actually just used this analogy in church the other day of anything in life. Like if we dieted one day a week, how well would that work for losing weight? If we went to the gym one day a week, how well would that work getting better? We nothing in life do you get better at from doing one day a week. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, we expect people to become better Christians going one day a week.
Yeah.
It's like, no. I mean, there's Bible studies. Go to as many as you can. There might be somebody that's dealing with this, or you might be able to help with this, whatever. And not to mention, there's not that much for the kids to do to stay out of trouble anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we used to have the stupid dance places in Davenport when I was young.
Oh, yeah.
Those places were packed. And that's where all the 15-year-olds went to smoke their cigs, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, those places, they all – I remember we had some middle school, and they meant well, but it was just like – I mean, sure, we're not out drinking and partying, but we're, oh, yeah, let's get with these girls. Let's do this. Like, oh, my gosh.
100% trying to make out with a girl in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where there were fights because you were dancing with somebody's girlfriend.
Yeah. And then you're just like, you guys are idiot. Like, and high school kids think they're so old and mature. And you're like, you have no idea.
None.
How life works.
I remember they used to sell, one of the original drinks, 180.
180?
I think that's what Red Bull was called before it was Red Bull.
Oh.
Wow,
you are an OG. Look at that.
I'm saying they started selling those things at the nightclubs. Huh. And I'm like, that's such a bad idea.
Oh, yeah.
They're never going to go to sleep when they get home. But I think that way as an adult, but you know darn well at 14, 15, I'm sitting.
Oh, yeah. And you're just, because even like now I look, you know, that I can't, I don't know the name of the drink, the one that's Red Bull and alcohol. Like, I'm like, oh no, that sounds awful because that's energy. And I'm like, such a dad. Like before, like, I don't care if it tastes good, put it all together. Let's go.
Like, I'm good.
Jeez.
I feel like I'm gonna have a hangover just from talking about that.
Yeah. I need to go lie down.
I need a nap. Gosh, we're old.
Dude, you're older than me, so cause how old is you said Mariah's. Am I the same age as Mariah? How old is Mariah?
I'm 37, so she's 34.
Okay, that's what I thought. She was, I'm 35, so we'd be close. Okay.
Old man.
Yeah, New Year, because I remember, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's the same age as my brother, so 34. Okay. Yeah, so let's shift gears, go back. So that's, we met Muscatine, and then, like you said, we connected because of dad stuff, dad issues of where, yeah, dad just sucked. And so you shared a little bit the other week when we talked, but just with the crap from your dad, and now you've trying to process through it, and then with your son. So just talk about that, of kind of like, here's your relation with dad, and then what you've worked through, and now how you're trying to break that chain as you go with your kids.
Yeah. So, my dad is, to start off, my dad's dad left when he was really young. He was the baby in the family. And his dad ran off. I don't know if they ever talked to him or whatever. Dad didn't talk about that kind of stuff much. And honestly, he just wasn't that type of guy to talk about it. And he was an alcoholic. So he quit drinking alcohol when I was young. But I remember growing up and him coming home really late, hammered, and screaming at my mom, getting in her face. I don't think he ever got violent, but I don't remember. I just remember, I mean, when you're that little, I think I was in like second grade. I ran to my brother's room and jumped in his bed with him.
Yeah.
So when you're that little, yelling in your mom's face is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to. Yeah. So, he eventually went and switched to NA beer. And, just to give you an example of how narcissistic he was, is when we would go fishing. I didn't know this at the time, but it was a way for him to get out of the house to go smoke weed when mom was home. Mm-hmm. But we would go and we'd go fishing, and he would pack a cooler, and the only thing in the cooler was NA beer. So I'm in fourth grade, happened to drink NA beer because there was nothing else to drink.
Yeah.
He just never thought of anybody but himself. I can't imagine that as a dad.
Yeah.
Half the time I forget to pack my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
he was very narcissistic. Only really showed up or was around when Matt, or my brother, my older brother and I were doing sports. Because he wanted to take credit for us being good at stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I started stealing his pot, I think, was weed when I was 6th, 7th grade.
Mm-hmm.
I started taking it from him. Because, I mean, that's all he ever did was smoke and drink. And eventually he put my mom in a very bad hole financially, which she had to dig out of. Through dealing drugs and doing all other sorts of stuff. But he was kind of just never really there. He didn't really care about us. And as it got older, it just started to eat away. And I'd give him chance after chance. And his narcissistic personality would come through. And he'd do something that would hurt me or whatever. And I'd get over it and come back. Like, I'd be on his bowling team just because I tried to do everything I could.
Mm-hmm.
Because I swear the less acceptance your dad gives you, the more you try to get it.
Yep.
And so I'd work so flipping hard to do anything I could. But it was just never enough. Which definitely felt not validating to my life. And it's probably honestly a big reason why I don't have any confidence.
Mm-hmm.
In areas. But he and I, as we got further apart, like, I'm the one that found out that he was cheating on my mom, and I had to tell my mom. And I think I was 20, 21 years old. And that's the first time me and him ever got physical.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was 5'7", 150 pounds. I was 225 at the time and had probably the lowest body fat percentage of my life.
Yeah.
When I found out. Because all I cared about at that point in my life was girls and lifting. Mm-hmm. That's the first time we ever got physical, and he kind of found out that that wasn't an option anymore.
Yeah.
And he left my mom after that. And I knew he talked bad about her all the time. And whatever. And it was the best decision. Well, my mom is like a saint. She cleaned it. She took care of him, did everything. I mean, you found out how little my dad knew how to do for himself when he moved out. But we were torn there. And then he'd tell me he was going to be there for my kids or be there for this. And it would eat at me and it would eat at me. And then he'd tell me this thing or that thing and just be rude. And eventually it came down to, that's a little bit of backstory, but eventually it came down to this situation where I'd give him 1,000 chances. And every time he stabbed me in the back or he hurt my kids, because he would bail on the situation. And as a dad, I'd get more mad about that because I remember what I felt like as a kid. Mm-hmm. But they did. I mean, my two youngest ones didn't even know who he was. Well, he was one. I think Wes was one when he died. Our last conversation, we were fighting about something because he was being mean. He had bailed on something again. And we were fighting and he basically called me fat and something else. And I can't remember what the other thing was at this time, but he ripped into me pretty hard. And I always had a problem. Like my family, or me and my wife won't talk about body image in front of our kids because I have such a struggle with it. Cause my dad always used to make fun of me and my family always made fun of me for being the chubby one.
Mm-hmm.
So like I really struggle with that. I, body image issues for sure. I told him that I never wanted to talk to him again, that he was an F and a hole. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely hated him and I hung up. And that was the last conversation I had with my dad. My dad died like a month later. I have a voicemail he left me since then. I mean, he didn't even realize that the voicemail, he doesn't even remember our fight.
Mm-hmm.
I just listened to that the other day because he died on October 18th, 3 years ago. And I listened to the voicemail the other day. And he couldn't remember because he was on so many drugs and mm-hmm. he had gone back to drinking. When we cleaned out his house, I mean, we found empty bottle after empty bottle after empty bottle of the liquor. He had started peeing himself on the couch. I mean, he was in a really, really bad way. My dad was a Vietnam vet. It messed with him.
Yeah.
And I knew that. But it still haunts me to this day. We both know what it's like to get in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Our dad, but it's the last thing I ever said to him was, I effing hate you.
Yeah.
Well, the other day, my oldest boy, Carver, freaked out on me. I think he's going through that stage where his testosterone levels are going up a little bit. Because I remember my mom saying something about that, like, you hit a certain age and they kind of bump a little. I mean, he's getting thicker, he's getting broader. And it's like, okay, that would make sense if his testosterone levels are raising. But I went in and talked to him because he said something about, like, I never want to be a part of this family and I don't want to talk to you ever again. And I went and I had an honest conversation with him. And I just said, buddy, I know you're hurting and I love you no matter what. Let me tell you about the last conversation I had with your grandpa. I said, I can't ever take that back. I don't know if my dad believed in God. He always said there is no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole.
Mm-hmm.
But I constantly remember the fact that I missed an opportunity to show the grace that God's given me.
Mm.
And I can never have that conversation with him again.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what he did to me, doesn't matter because I've done worse to Jesus. I've done worse. I've turned my back on him 100 times. I've denied him before. that I can't. I'm forever going to have to live with that. I still have not found the courage I was going to this year. I still haven't gone to his gravesite, and I know he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to have some closure.
Yeah.
And I'm just struggling to get to that point. But I want to make sure my kids know. And I told them, I said, I don't ever want you to leave a conversation wondering what if.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to feel what I feel. That's all I can hope is that he never does. And he really understood. And he started crying and gave me a big hug. Because, I mean, you got to know Carver. Carver's got the most gentle heart in the world.
Yeah.
He loves everybody. But I didn't know when I'd have to share that with my kids. And that was apparently the time.
Mm-hmm.
With, for him, at least. So.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Mike. Yeah, it is interesting, like you said, just, I mean, thinking the whole story of, you said, where, you know, how the amount your dad rejects you, like, is the amount you want to work for that acceptance. Cause I mean, yeah, it was the same of, you know, for my brother and I, of like, man, if we can do sports or we can, you know, get this to where, yeah, then you get to a point where like, it's not going to happen. But then even going like, but yeah, but how can I not, yeah, you know, shift to where you can get them to prove. And then it gets to exactly like where you're at of like, you don't feel sorry for them. I guess it'd be what empathy you have of just like, you know, the crap they've gone through and the crap they've faced. And it's, you want to help them, but you're also like, you've got to help yourself because yeah, you're just toxic and not healthy to be around. And yeah, it's just in a weird spot, but it just speaks to like why dads are so stinking important. And for dads to have their own crap together. Cause just, the impact that you can have on kids and generations to come is, yeah, a positive or negative. But I mean, all of us are like, I want my dad. I want my dad to be, you know, approve of me. Cause yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I haven't talked or seen mine for a while. And I actually just thought of the same. Actually, it was after our conversation. Cause yeah, I was like, man, the last one we had was when my, it'd be his mom passed away and his wife came up and, oh man, started just gaslighting and stuff and whatever. And I was just like, I just got pissed because she asked like what percentage or what something of like wanting a relationship with your dad. And I was like, zero, because the last phone call we had, he just told me basically, you know, it was just F off of like, it's you, you know, to where like, I, you know, you just go, I don't know what to do going. I mean, I'd like to try. And yeah, then you kind of beat yourself up because you're like, oh, could I have done something different? Could I? Yeah, it's just exactly what you're like. I don't know how, I can't imagine doing any of that stuff for my kids, to not be in their life, to not, you know, be invested, to not, it just doesn't make sense to where I'm like, man, if you, yeah, I think, if, you know, Carver, if he's like, yep, I'm done and I'm out, you're going to chase that kid down and be at his door every freaking morning going, hey, I'm here again. You ready? You're killing me. I know, but you're my son and I'm like never, never going to leave you. And so, yeah, it's just, it's a tough thing. Yeah.
I've been asked often, you know, what's your greatest fear? And I said, to be my dad. As a husband and as a dad, I don't want to be him. And he always used to use the excuse. I don't know if your dad has this excuse or what. My dad always used to use the excuse, well, I never learned to be a father. I never had anybody to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I remember one of the conversations we had, I got him back because I said, either did I.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've had plenty of examples in the church. Being lucky growing up in the church, I've seen other people and learned from them. But he was definitely not the one to teach me.
Oh, yeah. And I had that same thing too. And I actually had a shift in mind because, you know, I realized, I mean, it'd basically be, I think it really came with the divorce because, yeah, you know, I said, I don't want to be him. I don't want to be divorced. I don't want to be a terrible father. And then it's like, oh, all these things happen. And realizing me trying to not, I was living in the negative instead of being the positive, saying, this is what I'm going to try to avoid. Why not do these good, I mean, it's the same as our Christian faith, you know, that you can get to where you just avoid bad things, but not necessarily move forward and go do the good things. Of like, the best way to not be that is just to go do the positive. And that was a big shift for me of like, yeah, what if I quit that mindset of, well, if I just don't do these things, or yeah, if I get, you know, cause I was like, yeah, if I get past, I think my parents were married 9 years, like then we're solid.
Yeah.
Oh, we made it, but we weren't, you know, I wasn't doing anything positive to make sure that the, you know, next 12 or 10, you know, after that we're good. It was just, well, if I can just not do this, then it'll be perfect. And like, yeah, that's not how
never a healthy way to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
Cause I mean, that's, you know, and that's, I learned, you know, with addiction, I mean, that's, you don't just quit. You've got to go get something positive that's more life-giving and your passion pursuit, to where you'd rather go do that than, yeah, like, oh, I'm sad, I'm going to go look at something or smoke something or drink something. Like, no, I have a purpose and this is where I'm moving forward with. So, but yeah, it's,
you fill that empty space with something and,
yeah,
and then you get rid of that something. Well, yeah, something else had to fill it. It's your choice whether it's positive or negative.
Mm-hmm.
I love how people want to blame it on, well, it's this. It's like, no, it's your job to fill it.
Mm-hmm.
God will give you opportunities to fill it and other things to fill it with, but it's your choice whether it's positive or not.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, I mean, it's just that passivity to where, yeah, my dad didn't have, I mean, none of us have anything perfect. It's just your decision of, like I said, I'm going to figure something out with it or just complain about it. I'm going, okay, like you told Jed, I didn't have a great example, but that doesn't mean I'm going to sit here and fail. Like, I'm going to go do exactly what you do. Go ask questions, go get around people that can help you out and get it figured out, instead of going, yeah.
Surround yourself with people better than you are.
And yeah.
I mean, I have it tattooed on my back. It's the first Bible verse my youth pastor ever taught me. It was iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
Proverbs 27:17. And the truth of the matter is he could have broke it down as easy as, if you hang out with idiots, you're going to become an idiot.
Yeah.
Hang out with good, strong Christian men, you're going to become a good, strong Christian man. Wish I would have found that out sooner, because my friend group probably would have changed younger.
yeah. Which I don't know if he's still quite figured out. For some reason, still keep calling me like,
Maybe I'm trying to be the positive for you.
Yeah, there you go. Like, I've got five. This guy needs somebody, because, man, he's got nothing.
Or I use you for Guad.
That's fine. I'm happy to be used for that. I will go and do that any day. Awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing, man, about your dad, marriage, getting near the end. So let's do that. We'll do the rapid fire questions and then get you back on your bulking up sessions.
I can go make the kids lunch.
All right. So the first question is, who's your favorite TV or movie dad?
Oh, can Uncle Phil count?
Yes. Dude, that's my answer. Uncle Phil's where it's at.
Uncle Phil, I'm never going to get past that scene with him and Will Smith about the dad.
Yep. And it's a great, like, again, of what you, I know these rapid fire, but I love Uncle Phil, but of just like, you're not my kid, but I am going to be a dad. Like, just... Yeah. It's a decision. Oh yeah, that's a great one. I know the answer, but next one is hobby you enjoy.
Fishing and working out. Yeah, main things.
Okay, fill in the blank. A dad is
a protector. Not just physical, but mental, spiritual, everything. Protect you and get you ready to go into the fight, because life is.
I like that. Best piece of dad advice you've received?
As far as being a dad is, give yourself grace. It's the thing that probably eats away at you. Isn't the every decision you make, it's the ones that you know you made wrong. Because I'll go apologize to my kids. Like, dude, I'm sorry. I got too angry. I did this. I said something I shouldn't have. And they'll forgive me in a heartbeat. I don't probably give myself the grace I should. My wife's the same way.
Yeah. I had that realization that I was like, just beating myself up. And like, dude, your kids are already past it. Like, See yourself like they do.
They get over stuff way faster than we do.
Dang it. What brings you pride as a dad?
My kids, love of Jesus and their, willingness to try new things. All of them have tried everything. Like Lila's will tell you, Dad, I don't sport, but she tried them. Mm-hmm. Didn't love them. She's an art kid. Carver, we did wrestling last year, doing basketball this year. Taylor wants to do everything. I mean, Taylor right now wants to be a pastor, WWE wrestler, college wrestler, football coach at Iowa, and all these different things.
Yeah.
Whatever, bro. Yeah. If you want to have all those jobs, have fun. You'll make a lot, but you'll die young.
Yeah.
But just their willingness and their heart. And Wesley's the same way. The other day, Wesley, I didn't get to see it. Mariah did. We went trick-or-treating. And Wesley's a Halloween baby. So we went trick-or-treating on Halloween. And you see all those viral videos. Sorry, I know it's rapid fire, but you see all the viral videos where kids just dump the bucket into their bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And, when people just leave them outside. And Wesley got to a house that didn't have any candy left in it, so he dumped half of his in there.
Oh.
Yeah, as a freaking four-year-old.
Wow.
Oh.
Jeez, I bet your wife was just like, okay, pick me up.
Yeah. Oh, God, she's way more emotional than I am. That about broke me.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So just their hearts.
That's cool. It's rapid fire. I don't care. Are you beginning to see them? Because you mentioned their faith, like seeing them start taking ownership and kind of, you know, asking some of those questions. And
in some aspects, Lila is our intellectual. Lila reads, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago we talked and she was reading 6 books. Her reading level she's in sixth grade. And I think last time they tested, it was like a junior or senior in high school or something crazy like that. She reads at a ridiculously high pace.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't, I mean, we're going to go broke trying to afford all the books for her.
Yeah.
Cause she wants every series. But that's what she does. And so she's really starting to ask those questions and know things and tell me, well, Dad, did you know this and this? And that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Carver's not quite to that point, but he'll come up and tell me everything he learned in Sunday school and be excited about it. Taylor has my attention span, so not really. He just got baptized this year because the Methodist Church believes in baby baptism, but I believe in them asking.
Yeah.
So whenever they ask, I have no problem with it because we're still going to do the confirmation thing because that's right now what the Methodist Church does. So, yeah.
That's awesome. All right, last question. What's the story you want your kids to tell their kids about you?
Just that honestly, if I could pick anything, just that they never doubted how much I love them or that I did everything that I did for them. Because in ministry, sometimes you have to move them away from their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts as a dad, like when you know God's calling you somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, guys, we got to go. So I want them to know that I did it with them in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it with always trying to keep their best interests at heart. And just to know that I don't need to live through them. I want them to be happy and me to be there. So.
That's awesome. Great answer. Great answer, Mike. Well, thank you for doing this, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. Sorry if I go off on tangents. I'm a pastor.
No, they're great. And I, you know, I'll give you credit because I'm like, gosh, I know Mike and he's just an idiot, but he's not. Dude, because I know you say your daughter reads. I'm like, I know where she gets it, her dad, because you're just absorbing all of it. But yeah, man, there's some.
I'm a books on nuggets. Tape guy, though.
Yeah.
If I'm reading.
Yeah, reading you'd be a little slow.
I am slow. I my ADHD gets the best of me.
Are you, I keep forgetting, where are you at in schooling right now?
I am in technically, I think I'm a junior still. At Western, finishing my bachelor's in sociology and theology. And then I will go on to my MDiv, my master's of divinity, but I don't know where from yet. Because of all the split going on in the conference, I don't know what programs are going to be accepted and what ones aren't. So I got to wait. And if there's an online program, I'd rather do that. Cause I mean, I just, this is my last year coaching football. I guess we can talk about that, but this is my last year. Just don't have time anymore. Coaching what the kids do.
That's a lot. I forgot about that.
Something had to drop and it couldn't be school and it
dropping like it's hot.
Couldn't be my wife and it couldn't be my kids. So
Nope, that's probably a good choice. Good call. Well, yeah, thanks again, Mike. Enjoy talking to you. And I'll, I don't know, I might call you, might answer, might come visit you, but you know me. Wouldn't hold your breath because you would be dead.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe in the next 10 years.
You know, that's pushing it. All right. See you, Mike.
All right, bro. See ya.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Dad Talks. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment and leave a review. And make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any episodes.